Howdy, y'all. This is Bob Nightingale, America's so-called sweetheart. At least that's what Liam says. I'm not sure about that, but you listen to Pod and Lansdowne.
Love me a nice crisp Canada Dry. That's my ginger ale of choice. Not sponsored.
Is there?
Oh, Schweppes. Yeah, and then Seagram's is... Yeah, Seagram's is dog water. The Seagram's ginger ale is...
I don't think I've ever had that in my life.
Yeah, it's... That's what they had at UMass, at the dining halls. They didn't have Canada Dry or Schweppes. They had the Seagram's, and it was just a disappointment. What can I say? As a big ginger ale head, it's tough that we had to deal with that out in Western Mass for 4 years. But, you know, we make do.
Amherst is Western Mass?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. West of Springfield.
Oh, I didn't realize it was west of... How far west of Springfield is it?
Probably, like, 45 minutes from Springfield. Or so. Okay. I mean, I guess it depends on the traffic, right? It's not so far past Springfield.
I've been there. I didn't realize it was that far from Springfield.
Yeah, I mean, it's out in the boonies, man. The Pioneer Valley.
What a riveting conversation.
Oh, what am I talking about? No, Amherst is north of Springfield, technically.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay.
I usually don't drive as...
How embarrassing.
When I'm going there. Yeah, that's tough. Yeah.
As a minute,
directions are tough. Yeah. What are you gonna do,
Fitz? How are you, my friend?
I'm good. Liam, how are
you? It's just us today.
Liam has been put in the contraption.
Yeah. He's worse than me.
Do we want to just start there?
I was only 0-3. What is he? 0-5?
He's now 0-5.
Yeah, that's
at Red Sox games. We have to address the Pod on Lansdowne curse.
What have they lost? Seven? Or they've lost 8 games, right? They're 9-8.
They're 9-8. Holy shit! You guys have. Well, you've been to games together. Yes.
Two were together.
Okay, because I was going to say 5+3. I do know that one. I don't know my directions on the compass rose clearly, but I know what 5+3 is. But it's getting... Liam's going through a tough time right now on the timeline. He's getting yelled at left, right, and center. And I gotta say, I don't blame people for being mad at him. I mean, at some point, something's gotta give. 0-5, he's seen like 3 combined runs this entire time, including the shutout on Patriots Day.
Saturday?
When did I go?
No, when is he going again? Is he gonna try on Saturday?
I'm not sure. Well, they're on the road this upcoming Saturday.
Oh, right.
Yeah, but the Saturday after...
There's no way he doesn't go the next 4 days.
He's gonna get the itch. The ballpark app is gonna be speaking to him like the Green Goblin mask.
It's what an ass.
Yeah, that's just a simple way to put it.
How embarrassing!
It's really embarrassing, man. Everyone's yelling at him. I mean, it's great for engagement. It's terrific content.
It is. The worst part, though, I think, is not that they're losing; is that they are, like, they're getting smashed every time he goes.
Yeah.
or not smashed, but they're scoring no runs in front of him.
Yeah, I mean, I think he mentioned it when I went Saturday. I'm 1-0, by the way.
Yeah, congrats, dude, by the way. That's really awesome.
I've beaten the allegations up to this point. Yeah. So, not to brag. He mentioned what he's seen. He had saw, like, 3 or 4 games up to that point, and 3 of those were shutouts on the Red Sox send.
Yeah, his last two are a 7-0 loss and
a 6-0.
6-0 loss. Yeah,
I'm gonna make him really upset by saying this. I'll admit this. Ready? I'll come clean. The Red Sox scored 4 runs on Saturday. I was not yet in my seats, so I missed the in-person Casas homer. So the sound you're hearing right now is Liam screaming from wherever he's listening to this right now, because, again, technically, I still saw more runs scored than he has over the last couple of games.
Yeah, if you saw 1 run scored, it would be more.
Yeah, exactly, right? And sure enough, it was x3 there. So I'm completely lapping him there, but it could have been way worse. So you're actually welcome for not making it worse on your end, Liam.
I'm sure he's nodding along listening to this.
Either that or... I was nervous to see when the first edit was going to come in from
Jiggy. Come on.
I mean, if the result of that is always bleeped. We're going to get the prerequisite beep there, too. That's you should you should know the rules by now. That being Jake with a smiley face.
AKA yeah, I just Jake. Figured. I just figured we needed that, a little smiley face today.
Yeah, it's because, I mean, yeah, the wins Saturday and Sunday were nice, but after Friday, we had to try to get the spirits going. We need to get the spirits back going again after a deflating Marathon Monday game. I like the smiley face. I think, you know what? Be the change you wish to see in the world, Jake.
Yeah, I just think it's a nice little pick-me-up. I don't know.
Yeah. Before we get into the weeds of the negatives over the past week.
Exactly. The don't fuck withs.
Exactly. I'm Ryan Dempster, by the way, a.k.a. Fitz. This is Pod on Lansdowne.
My dad loved Ryan Dempster.
Yeah? The little hand shaky thing back and forth that he used to do? The little...
No, he just loved that his last name sounded like Dumpster.
Yeah. With the profession.
Exactly, yeah. So I believe he even purchased a Dempster jersey.
And taped over the E with a U. That would have been a hell of a play.
Remember when he pitched one inning in the World Series and he gave up a home run?
Hey, he still got a ring afterwards.
Yeah, he did. It was to Matt Holliday, if I recall.
Yes. Whose son, by the way.
Yeah.
Congratulations on his first
hit. Whose son, by the way, sucks. He fucking stinks.
Took him 20 ABs, but he did get his first AB.
He did?
First hit.
Did he get it yesterday?
Yes, Sunday. We're recording Monday evening for a Wednesday release. Us recording, of course, the show Pod on Lansdowne. We're happy you're in. Jake, you mentioned the positive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hello. You mentioned the positives that we wanted to start things off with. But all things considered, pretty shitty week of Red Sox baseball that we've just witnessed. Even if they do end up winning Tuesday night, we don't know the result of that game. That's still a losing record. Since we last recorded, a sweep at the hands of the Baltimore Orioles, 2 out of 3 against the Angels, sure, yeah, you'll take that, of course, but dropping the first game against Cleveland, our guys are bleeding, running into each other now, we got stitches that need to be required, pets' heads are falling off, all that kind of stuff, you know, just not the best week, I'd say.
No, I'd have to agree. It seems like this team right now is kind of in a two steps forward or one step forward, two steps back kind of thing going on. You know, every time there's a positive development, it is almost immediately followed by a negative development. Or like every time we win a couple games in a row, then we suffer a grotesque loss immediately after that. It's just, you can't, the vibes, they don't stay good for long. I mean, I know it's only been what are we not? It's been 16 games? Nope. 17.
See, I know my math.
17. 9 and 8. Yeah. I know it's only been 17 games, but I just feel like they're not locked in.
Not at all. And especially
you know that kid that always says that? Locked in? That kid,
There's plenty of people that say locked in.
No,
there's
like that internet, he shit his pants running the Boston Marathon today.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, that cat. What's his name?
Hold on. There's a guy who shit his pants running the marathon today.
He shit his pants. Yeah, he was posting about it.
Oh boy. Can we get a handle on this? What's the story?
Locked in. If I search locked in, I feel like it should pop up. He's
locked in.
That's Davis Clark. That's his name. That kid.
Davis Clark.
Yeah, he shit his pants.
Is Davis Clark famous for something else, or is he just...
No, he's like an internet personality.
Okay, I was going to say, because
but he should
way over my head. My millennial head now. Yeah, I'm doing the, telling on myself Inglourious Basterds thing, try glass. I don't know who Davis Clark is. Yeah. This is new.
No, I don't really... I'm not really familiar with his work.
Oh!
Much,
but oh, he most certainly did shit him.
Yeah, he did see the chance today.
Oh
yeah.
No!
Yeah, I know it's a bit ghastly.
Oh. Oh man. Oh Jesus Christ, that's a lot, man.
No, it looks like there's like some blood in there. No.
Yeah, it's like he's got to get that checked out. I think he's got to see a doctor.
I was thinking. I mean, he might have some hemorrhoids or something going on.
2:56 on the marathon. He says so. That's not bad. Sub 3.
That's pretty fucking good. Right? That's better than Chara.
Right? I mean, yeah, of course. Shout out Dave.
Chara did it in a 320.
I was expecting it to be like, I don't want to get too gross here. Because I don't want people turning off like 10 minutes into the episode. I thought it was just going to kind of be like mud pie-y a little bit.
Frankly, it doesn't look like poop at all, I would say. It's almost a disaster. Just looks like straight blood.
He cut the inside of his thigh.
Yeah, that's what, yeah.
This is a disaster, Davis.
Yeah, it's a disaster. I don't even know why I brought this up. Oh, I said they're not locked in like he is. He's always
Holy
locked in.
Shit, dude.
That's his thing.
What? On the right side, it's on his thigh, but on the left, it's on like his calf for the most part.
Well, it dripped.
It dripped like in crazy kind of way. Like it was just a crazy, you know, sort of spill pattern, I'm saying here.
Yeah. I hope he's all right.
I know it smelled like crazy. All the sweat. Oh, is there a video? Oh no. I don't think I want to see the video. I've just seen screenshots. I don't think I want to see the video.
Yeah.
No. You know what else I didn't want to see? This offense today. Folks, am I right?
Folks.
But no, the offense for the Red Sox. I think going into the
it kind of sucks.
Yeah, going into the season here. I think I mentioned it a couple of times on the podcast. I'd say something along the lines of like, okay, this offense was still solid in 23 and had some really good spurts. And again, up until Memorial Day, we have to preface everything by saying it's still early in the season. But there are a couple instances here with this Red Sox offense, especially now with, you know, Devers having taken a couple of days off, and now who knows what's going to happen after today's incident. Obviously, you know, Duran and O'Neill have been good at the plate, but outside of that, they're like it hasn't been consistent enough on the offense here. There's a stat I saw right before popping on the podcast here from at Ballpark Buzz. I'm sure many listeners listen to that or follow them on Twitter. Good follow at Ballpark Buzz. On the season, the Red Sox have scored about 40% of their runs via the home run. I don't love that. That is...
Fitz, my friend, can I have some context for that? Do you know, like, what last year was, or...
I don't have the context in front of me, but almost half of your runs exclusively on home runs?
Yeah.
He adds this, if you take out the A series where they did not hit a home run but scored 15 runs, they are scoring 50.8% of their runs via the home run. And he throws in, tough way to be consistent offensively. I would agree with that. And you're just lending yourself to the volatility there if you're relying.
I mean, there's like three guys on the roster that I think are real major league hitters right now. Four. It's O'Neill, Duran, Casas, and Devers, who unfortunately has been when he's played pretty mid so far this year. But after that, it's a catastrophe, frankly.
Connor Wong hitting like 300. I'll have you know.
Well, okay.
I mean,
the catching platoon, for facetious. What it is fine. I don't really have...
Yeah, Reese had a good start.
However, Kyle Teal will almost certainly slot in there with pretty soon.
Yeah, soon enough.
I guess. But, yeah, the middle infield is a disaster. It's just... I mean, where I don't even know how you can't really, frankly, fix it at this point. It's kind of... You hope Grissom gets healthy, and you hope a couple guys turn it around. I mean, there's no help coming, I guess. That's it.
It's tough to talk about outside reinforcements for the middle infield this early in the year, you know what I mean? Because you don't know where the rest of the chips are going to fall in the rest of the league, who might be willing to sell off pieces that could help. Although Miami looks really bad, too. So, like, you know, Tim Anderson. Come on home.
It all comes back to what a surprise. It all comes back to not spending anything in the offseason and being like, yeah, here, why not? Let's give it a shot. And, of course, the middle infield injuries, Story and Grissom not being ready to start the year, that does make it look a bit worse than I think it is in reality. Let me correct that. This is the reality now. Story's out for the year, and Grissom, I don't know. They may have been counting on him a little too much. We'll see how he does, but it's like they so badly needed a DH. So badly.
I thought they had one.
Well, he stinks. Well, he hit a home run yesterday.
He did have a home run. That stroke was great.
Yeah, but I have you seen Justin Turner's stats, Fitz?
Yeah, is he just going off again?
He's hitting like 370.
Yeah.
I mean, what
he's just
the
a professional
fuck?
Hitter.
What the fuck? I think that's the one move this offseason that I fundamentally, like, everything else I can begin to understand. It's like, you know, you don't want to get locked in because you got the prospects coming up and you're a rebuilding team. It's like, what did he, who cares? It's a 1 year fucking deal he got, right?
I think so. Maybe an option for a second, but
you could have just slot him in at DH for another year. Grow up.
Especially when you need the help from the right-hand side of the plate. All the hitters outside of O'Neill, and not for nothing, we weren't expecting O'Neill to lead the league in homers a couple weeks into the season, but that would be nice to have right now. I agree with you. I don't think that's a bad...
It's a bummer. I have no idea why they did... Why...
Yeah, 386 entering today's action.
That's awesome. That's terrific.
3-for-4 on Sunday the 14th. Yeah, bad radio is there. But yeah, 3-for-4 with 3 ribbies. 1-for-2 the game before. 2-for-4, 2-for-3, 1-for-3. You went 3-for-3 in Houston. Awesome. 3-for-4, second game of the year.
Really good move, Craig.
Professional hitter. Just there are some guys who are like that, you know? And again, to have that on the right side of the plate would have been really nifty right now. But can't go back and change the past, though, right?
No, you can't. And he's old, but whatever. That's a better line than I think anybody that isn't Tyler O'Neill has on this team. So
And they're younger. There you go.
The offense has been rough. And I don't really foresee it improving. I don't know.
I think it can. I mean, I trust Devers.
It's going to be a weakness, I think, now.
We're going to close our eyes, and at the end of the year, I think Devers is still going to have a typical Devers sort of line. He'll be...
Should he just get surgery or something? Like, what's the fucking problem with that
shoulder?
I feel like he's had it for, a couple years now.
I don't know. I don't think it's as bad of a shoulder issue as, Tatis had a couple years ago, where
Devers... No, but I mean, if it keeps popping up like this, I'd rather he fix it now.
Is he like me, where
I'm completely hypothesizing with what it is, but if it is real, I'd rather he just fucking takes the year than when we actually might have a good team next year or the year, you know?
Coming from you, you're the noted shoulder injury expert of the podcast, so that does mean a lot.
I was upset, but proud to have known what Trevor Story did immediately when he went down. That was a good... I felt like Dr. Jim on that one.
Yeah, for the most part, you never want to feel like Dr. Jim.
No, I texted you guys. I was like, as a noted shoulder dislocator, I can tell you exactly what he just did.
Yeah, it doesn't get better, you mentioned. Yeah. So is the situation with Devers like that, or is he just like me and he slept on it the wrong way and it's sore? Like, I've got a sore shoulder right now. I feel like
I feel like last year we had the same thing. He had like shoulder stuff a lot.
Not
a lot. But am I misremembering or what?
I think so. I mean, there's going to be a resource for that, but I'm pretty sure he missed some time. Yeah, and if it wasn't this past year, it was in 22, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you know who I fucking hate?
Is this your don't fuck with?
I think, yeah, it is.
Okay, so then put a pin in it.
All right,
pin. We should take a quick break. When we return, fuck with, don't fuck with. Jake has yawners when we return. Back after this. We have returned. Pot on Lansdowne. No Liam. Again, he's in the contraption as punishment for being 0-5 at all the Red Sox games he's been to so far in 2024. But Fitz and Jake are here for your listening pleasure or pain, depending on who you are, depending on who you ask. We're on Twitter, in case you're wondering, at Pot on Lansdowne is the show. I am at Fitzimo Pena. Jake is at Jake Wallinger. And if Liam doesn't die in the contraption, you can follow him at LiamFennessy_. If you want to leave us a voicemail as well to yell at Liam, to voice your displeasure, or if you want to leave a question or a comment for us, you can. Our number is Jake Pop Quiz.
Oh, God. I don't know. I'm not. I'm so sorry.
I'm going to mix in these pop quizzes every now and again.
Yeah, no, you got me, dude. I failed.
617-420-2431. Again, 617-420-2431 to be featured on the show. It's that time of the week. Fuck with, don't fuck with. Jake, who are you not fucking with?
Fitz, I don't fuck with Kenley Jansen. I fucking hate this
okay,
guy.
Okay, so I
hate him so much. I really can't stand him.
I was waiting for this kind of conversation. Let it all out, because you've been very vocal.
What's the guy's fucking problem? I don't, every day there's a new thing that he's bitching about. Like, legitimately, he has not stopped complaining since spring training. He wakes up, he bitches, he pitches, he throws 40 pitches in one inning, somehow gets out of it, and goes to bed. That's his day. It's exhausting. It is exhausting to have
true
him
Sigma male
on the team. Like, just, yeah, I don't know. Grow up. Why is he being so annoying?
Want to play a game here?
Okay.
This is based off, because I talked about this in the Monday Morning Brushback blog on overthemonster.com. Follow along. Shameless plug, overthemonster.com. It's just been such a bizarre start to the year for Kenley Jansen. It's baffling. All of his numbers. Right, he's walked like 5,000 dudes, but he's also struck out 5,000 dudes. But it's crazy stuff. So the game I want to play with you is blue or red. Okay?
Oh, is this his Savant page?
I have his Savant page pulled up in front of me right now.
Okay, yeah.
I'm going to ask you, as it stands right now, Monday evening, as of 6:41 p.m., to be specific, I'm going to ask you a stat that Kenley Jansen has on his Savant page. You're going to tell me if it's a blue circle, meaning bad, or red circle, meaning good. Okay?
Yeah.
Clear enough?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's start with expected ERA. Blue or red?
Blue.
It is blue, 37th percentile at 4.49.
That was a layup, I think.
Okay. It started off, you know, easy enough there. Yeah,
thank you for that.
How about expected batting average?
Red.
He's in the 95th percentile.
Though. Yeah.
That's damn
that
good.
Makes sense. Yeah.
145 expected batting average.
No, he doesn't give up a lot of hits. That's not the issue.
How about fastball velocity? Trick question. Not qualified, but it's at around 94.6, in case you were wondering. But again, his velocity has been all over the place.
Wait, his fastball velocity is in the 94th percentile?
Well, yeah, he's unleashed a couple of, like, 95. Like, he hit 95.
Yeah, but wouldn't it be
Sunday.
The average? It would be the average.
Probably average, right? Yeah, but I think that qualifies on, like, the sinker. I don't know if the cutter counts on that. For what it's worth, like, we were worried about his velocity in the first couple of outings.
Well, the cutter is still sitting at, like, 89. It's bad.
He's gone that up to around like 91.
Oh, he is now?
Yeah, 90. His average on his cutter is 92 as it stands right now. And for what it's worth, for most of his career, that's what it was at. I think it was at 95 last year. So it's been a drop off from there, and that's a big drop off, 3 miles an hour or so, you know, 2.5, whatever the specific number is. I don't have it in front of me. I just remember running about that as well. But for the most part in his career, it's been around the low 90s. So take that for what it's worth. Your mileage may vary. Back to the game. Average exit velocity that Kenley Jansen has surrendered thus far this year.
Ooh.
Blue or red?
Oh, this one's tough. I'm going to say red.
16th percentile.
Oh, shit. Really?
91.5. So it's getting hit hard when he... How about chase rate?
Chase percentage. Red.
6th percentile.
What?
People
swing at that high, fastball. I feel like I've seen that.
Well, he's not getting
now.
Anyone to chase out of the zone. How about whiff rate? Swing and miss rate. Whiff.
Red.
That's red. 95th percentile. So he's not getting people to chase outside of the zone. But when people do swing, they're not making any contact unless they do. And if they do make contact, they're hitting the shit out of it. That's what we've learned. It's crazy. 95th percentile, 38% whiff rate. How about K rate?
Red. He's striking out a lot of guys. Yeah.
He's striking out a third of the batters. Almost exactly. 33.3.
Give me the walk rate, Fitz. Give me that blue walk rate. Where are we
walk
at?
Rate.
Oh, it's blue.
Yes, it's blue. Yeah, that's the first percentile.
Oh, no.
29.6% BB percentage.
No.
Barrel percentage.
He has a 30% walk rate right now.
Yep, and 33% strikeout rate. Oh, it's crazy. God. It's such a weird start.
Have we ever seen a three true outcomes pitcher? Could he be inventing a new thing right
Kenley now? Kenley Jansen dares to ask the question. How about barrel rate? Barrel percentage?
Bad, right? Well, is that different than, how different is that than hard hit?
I think barrel is defined as like a certain launch angle and a certain exit velocity. That's a barrel. I don't have the specific.
Well, I would say blue, right? Because you said everybody's.
It's red. It says 0.0. I feel like that's got to be a mistake. Like, if no one is barreling him up, then why is he the 82nd percentile? You know what I mean? Are so many people not giving up barrels? I don't know. I don't have the specifics of that. That's a freebie. I'm going to give you that. Right, he's given up a lot of hard hit rate, you know what I mean? Like, the average exit velocity is bad, but, like, the barrel rate is good. I don't know. How about hard hit percentage?
Blue.
27th percentile, 44.4%. And then the last one, ground ball rate.
Ooh. Blue.
Blue, third percentile. Yeah. 22.
I frankly cannot remember a single ground ball against him this season.
Yeah, it's, I mean.
I feel like they're all flyouts. It's a flyout, a hard hit ball, a strikeout, or a walk. That's all you're getting.
Or he decapitates Logan O'Hoppe.
Right. Yeah, that too. I forgot about that one.
It's just such a weird start because he is completely missed his spots on some pitches, and then there are some other pitches where, like, oh my god, he completely just dotted the corner there to get a huge strike to get up, like, you know, 1-2 or something like that. I'm making up a scenario there, but there have been instances where I'm like, oh damn, like, Kenley dotted that up. I don't know if this is going to be
Has not blown a save.
Yeah, he's either doing his best 2018 Craig Kimbrel impression to start the year. My brain is telling me that this is all going to come back and bite him in the ass because, like, I don't know how sustainable this is. I don't know how many times he can get away with this.
If he could just hold this until they find somebody to trade him to, that's fine. if this weird three true outcomes thing that he's got going on, just get me to like June, and then I'm sure some team that needs a closer will bite. I'm sure.
What if he has this career renaissance where, like, by the all-star break, he's already got 30 saves? Like, he is lights out when he comes in.
Let's go get a top 100 guy for him.
But the problem is that his ERA is, like, 4.5. He's walking, like, three guys an outing.
There has to be some dumbass, like, 80-year-old GM that would bite.
Yeah, right, who still values pitching wins, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, like, oh, he's got how many saves?
Yeah, he's got to get him out of here, right? Yeah,
sir, his ERA is nearly 5. Shut the fuck up!
Dude, I need that Cole Reagans type of trade where the Rangers traded for Chapman. Aroldis Chapman and gave up Cole Reagans, and now Reagans looks like this fucking stud. Yeah, I need to quote Pep Guardiola, I need that. We need that.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have a closer next year. We have a closer under contract next year.
Liam Hendrick, yes.
Yeah. Like, so I don't fucking care what happens with Kenley. Get anything you can for him. I don't. And I'll tell you what, Liam Hendricks, significantly better vibes than Kenley Jansen.
Based.
I mean, that's a low, well, he's also based, but that's a low bar at this point, considering, like I said, Kenley just bitches 24/7.
Yeah, about the ball. You know.
Pardon my French, also. I hate that word, but that is. That is what he's doing.
Big whiner.
Complaining.
Big baby. Yes.
Yeah, he's just being a big baby.
Right.
Grow up. You're getting paid $16 million a year. You pitch like two times a week. be a man. Closer on a meddling team has got to be one of the better jobs in the world.
I think that's a good tangent there. I've always believed, and I'm hardly the first person to believe this, but I think probably the best job in the world is backup quarterback for a quarterback who's insanely good.
Yeah,
like there's Brian really Hoyer, not that much bad.
Brian Hoyer had it made for a decade.
Exactly, right? No one really expects much of you, but if you do play well, it's like, oh my god, like Brian Hoyer. Maybe he's the answer. Maybe we give him a bag, or you know, he can just sit back again and let Brady cook when he's on the field. You know?
Yeah. Well, that's like. What were you gonna say? Go on. Whatever I had wasn't important.
Oh, I was gonna say with Kenley, again, it's such a weird start, but credit where it's due. I mean, it takes some cojones to go out there and strike out Mike Trout in that situation when the go-ahead runs on second base and you need to step up to, you know, clinch a series win.
It's almost, and I've always held this opinion with pitchers, like, it's almost more frustrating when a guy clearly can be great, but there's either mechanical shit going on or what. Like, I mean, this isn't – Kenley Jansen is – a likely Hall of Famer, and he has 400 saves. Like, obviously he's great, but it's frustrating that he has these moments this year where he still looks like prime Kenley. And then the other 70% of the time, he's like this lethargic. He's like throwing 90 miles per hour. It's annoying. Like, figure it out, please. For everyone's sake.
Yeah. But again, no blown saves.
No blown saves. We'll see how far he can take us.
What are you fucking with this week?
Fitz, I'm still fucking with the starting pitching. I mean, it's the best ERA in the league. Yeah, it's the best ERA in the league. I wish they're going a little deeper in games, but frankly, I mean, after last year, I could give a fuck if they go five innings there. I mean, that's great compared to last year.
Bale looked great.
Yeah, it's funny. Bayo has probably been the worst of the five,
and even then, like, it was his best start of the year.
Still been good
so far.
Yeah, he's just
over the weekend.
Yeah, Cutter looks awesome. Whitlock has looked pretty good. Hauk looks well. Hauk had that rough last game, but that's okay.
People, that you have those games. You know what I mean?
Nick sounds like he can come back pretty soon.
It sounds like it'll be the minimum stay on, or, and if not the minimum, then close to the minimum.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, even Cooper Criswell popped up. He did a fine job in his spot start.
It was only what, like four.
Did we have a single good spot start last year? One.
Like, I mean, it depends on what you mean good, because with hindsight being the benefit, like the Kyle Bearclaw game, well, he didn't start, but that just brings a smile to my heart now. You know what I mean?
He didn't start that? Oh, yeah, right. He came in. Oh, wow, jeez.
I was going to say, I was like, but no, he wasn't the spot start. So it didn't even count in the first place. Yeah. But it just makes me laugh now. So, you know what I mean? Like, I'll cherish that memory forever.
Forever. Yeah. I think that's easy to say right now, but it's been really great. Like we've said, Andrew Bailey has done miracles on us. Let's touch on that article I sent you after your set.
Well, if we're on Andrew Bailey right now, we might as well.
You want to do it right now?
Mention it, yeah.
All right, so this was written, I guess it was last year, when he was with the Giants. This was last year. So it was Jason Mastrodonato, who used to do Sox stuff. Where is he now? Giants. He's in the Bay. That makes sense. He wrote about how Andrew Bailey, his blown save on Patriots Day 2013, probably saved a lot of lives because people would have went from the Red Sox game down to the finish line.
Yeah.
And Andrew Bailey said, I remember all our wives were going to go down to the finish line, the kids, which is like such an insane thing to ponder, but.
Right.
I read that article today and I was like,
there's just no way to predict that one way or the other, right?
He's done so much for us, Andrew Bailey. God bless him.
That was a crazy game. I was there at that game. I was. Yeah.
Oh my god.
We were parked
over Pedroia wall ball double.
Pedroia scored. And Pedroia was chucking along to score. Mm-hmm. I think Dempster started that game. We were parked from the other way from the finish line. So I think we were parked over by like Ruggles, me and my dad. And I had an SAT prep class later that day, and I broke the news to everybody when I walked in. I was late for the session and said, sorry, but
that's
I was at the game.
Fit.
Yeah. Okay. What a wild time. And then the manhunt afterwards.
Yeah.
Fucking crazy, crazy being around the area at that time.
I was at the first Bruins game after the bombing.
Reverend took over from the national anthem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Special.
Yeah.
I believe the manhunt was ongoing at that point.
If the manhunt was ongoing at that time, there was like a shelter in place order at the time in the city. The city was a ghost town. No one was around. So unless they just had the entire city of Boston within the garden for that game, you talk about home ice advantage.
Bruins, wait. April. The Bruins took the ice just over 48 hours after the bombings. I think the manhunt was right after that.
Yeah, because it was a couple days.
Yeah, okay, after that's what it was.
When everything kind of went into the lockdown.
Yeah.
And then they found Tsarnaev in Watertown, right? Yeah.
Yeah, in the Watertown. Boat. You ever seen Patriots Day?
No, when Mark Wahlberg could have.
I hate Mark Wahlberg. Honestly, a pretty fun movie, like a pretty decent movie for what it is.
Fucking Marky.
Johnny Sack plays Mayor Menino.
Johnny Sack does?
Yeah.
No fucking shit. Yeah. He plays Mumbles.
Yeah, yeah.
I just finished season 5, by the way. I saw the raid at Johnny Sack's house.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they got him.
Tony just starts running away.
Yeah.
Dumping the gun in the snow.
Fitz, my friend, what is your don't fuck with?
So my fuck with and don't fuck with kind of play into each other.
Oh, interesting.
I am with David Hamilton's good plays at shortstop, because he did have a couple, but I am not fucking with David Hamilton's dog shit plays on defense on the other end. And I kind of say that, you know, tongue in cheek, as a point to say that this defensive play is so bad, but my God, it feels so fixable because it's just simple, simple, simple shit. And that's what's the most infuriating part of it with me. You have Rafael Devers making a great play to preserve a lead in Oakland. And then that play last weekend, the weekend past, where he can't stab at a ball in 2-run score in a 2-1 loss.
Right? I was there.
Hamilton makes a very solid play Saturday afternoon up the middle. I'm like, oh, damn, like, you know, solid play. He made another good play Sunday. But he misses the tag at second on a crucial double play.
I think that one is the funniest one we've had so far.
It's just like, this is simple shit. Like, it is not lost on me that we're just two, usually three, but as it stands right now, two schmucks talking on USB microphones, talking about baseball, which is an incredibly hard sport to begin with. And these are these are the top 1%, Bernie Sanders voice, the top 1% of the top 1% of the top 1% of players, right? Like, that's not lost on me, but this is like the mistakes, the boneheaded plays that are happening on defense is infuriating. We almost saw another one. Well, we did see a bad defensive play on Sunday. It just didn't really come to pass. That throw from center in the ninth inning to, I think it was Zach Nitto was on first, and he was able to get to second on that throw because no one was covering second base. If Trout gets a hit off of Kenley there, we're talking about that again, right? Like, in depth right now. It just so happens we ended up getting the win. Kenley was able to lock down the save, but the go-ahead run is able to get from first to scoring position because no one's covering second, because the fundamentals on defense with this team are infuriatingly bad. They're just non-existent, it feels like. It's driving me bananas.
I think, all right, the David Hamilton thing,
I don't mean to pick 100% on David Hamilton here. It's just the framing device of what I'm...
I think that if it, in a vac, like, say Trevor Story, that happened with Trevor Story, I don't think we would talk about it nearly as much because it's like, it's a mistake. He made a mistake. David Hamilton, unfortunately, I'm sure he's a nice guy here. He's a great guy. He fucking sucks at shortstop. He's really bad at it. So it's compounded when he makes a mistake like that, and then immediately the Orioles hit a home run to put them ahead. It was like the most perfect microcosm of these first 2 weeks. Like,
yeah, on the defensive an error? Side.
Now you lose. Like, there's no – I don't think the Red Sox have made a mistake that hasn't immediately – I guess that was the one you just said. That's like the first time this year.
Yeah, they
I
feel were able like to get
they got
break,
out
yeah.
of their self-created prison that they put themselves in every game. So it's like, yeah, that I feel bad bagging on the guy nonstop, but it's he's bad over there.
Would you believe me if I told you, and someone astutely pointed this out on Twitter, I forget exactly off the top of my head who it was, he was the defensive player of the year in the minor league system.
Not at shortstop, though, right?
I'm not sure. I didn't even know that he won it in the first place, so I didn't look as deep into see what position he won it at. I did see that.
Yeah, I did see that. That has not aged gracefully, unfortunately.
It's just one guy goes down in the entire defense, house of cards. It's crazy. I don't know if I've ever seen that.
Yeah, and one guy. Said, I don't really think we have a way out of this year. I mean, unless you make a move, but at the same time, it's like, do you really want to sink costs into? I mean, maybe. I mean, if it continues like this, yeah, you do. I'll answer it for you.
This team is not good enough to be giving out free outs like that. And to be fair,
but that's what I'm saying. They're also not good enough.
No team is enough to be given outs consistently like this, you know?
Yeah. Hey, you know what's great, though? Big three down there. They're hitting. They're doing good.
One day the sun will shine upon us again.
I check those box scores every day just to feel something. I go, that's nice. They're all hitting.
I think just for our own sanity, I think trying to keep their ETAs in a realistic sort of time frame, I think that's best for our mental sanity.
I think they're all up by, June next year.
Oh, I thought you were going to say this June. I'm like, Jake, this is exactly I'm like, this is exactly what I'm talking about.
If I had to guess, I'm going to lay it out for you. Here's what I think is going to happen. Teal is catching for the Red Sox by, August, if I had to guess. Fitz, he's going to be, 24. He's fucking old, or 23. He's old.
He's an old man. Teal coming out there. One last time.
He's hitting well enough in double. I mean, he spent, a fucking week in Salem?
What's that tweet? It's like me at 40 years old. I have so much of my life ahead of me. Sportscaster. Here he comes, the old veteran, one last time at 32 years old.
Teal, I'm thinking August. I'm thinking maybe. Maybe if he mashes the rest of the year, they give Marcel a little cup of coffee, perhaps.
September.
At the end of the year. Yeah, maybe. We'll see. And then I think my beautiful boy Roman, I think he's up by early summer next year.
Romulus.
Roman's trajectory is actually absurd. I know that things have been written about this, but the dude is 19.
He's only 19. Are you saying we get to make
he's only 19? I am saying he's only 19. I am saying.
We're still back.
Yeah. So I've been checking. I'm fucking with that. There's a little extra fuck with. I'm fucking with that.
You need one other thing to even it out, though.
Okay. I don't fuck with.
I don't fuck with you, Fitz.
I don't fuck with you. I don't fuck with. Red Sox ownership, obviously, I don't fuck with. But I don't fuck with.
Can we talk about that for a second? The fucking Keno thing?
That's fucking crazy.
That's gross. That's just
so for the. Well, do you want to. Here, inform the audience if they haven't seen it.
Yeah. I don't have the tweet in front of me here. Did Stas Masterson. Did he.
I don't know. But it was. So Lucchino had his funeral, or wake, or whatever it was. And Henry and Warner did not show. Henry said he was sick, and Werner was in England, I think. So that's weird.
Yeah, here it is, from Tyler Milliken, according to Sean McAdam. So I'm saying according to Milliken, according to McAdam. John Henry and Tom Werner didn't attend Larry Lucchino's private funeral. If you're missing a wake... I mean, this is my personal take on it, in terms of, the death procedure of a, a close, associate. Missing a wake is tough, but, if you're invited to the funeral after working with him for years, you miss that funeral, man? A celebration of life? Dude, ugh. Henry was reportedly feeling ill while Werner was said to be in England. You couldn't hop on a plane there, Tom?
No, he had a tummy ache. Oh, Henry, I'm sorry. Henry had a tummy ache.
Yeah, his tummy hurt. And Werner, whatever was going on in England, you couldn't have taken the time. Because when was the funeral? I'm not sure what day the funeral was, but if he was in England to see Liverpool, then that was time not well spent. I could tell you that much, because...
Oh, you had an easy layup. You'd be like, he saw a funeral anyway, or something.
No,
like
but I'm... Yeah, for
folks.
I can't joke that much after what Arsenal just did over the weekend, so... That's a little footy.
Yeah, that's crazy. I don't. That's really, really is bizarre.
It's just sad.
Billionaires. Like, they often suck.
Right? It's like. it's
such a basic form of human compassion. It's like, right? Harry's like, oh, no!
my throat tickles. Yeah. Guy's dead. He's dead. He died.
Imagine Henry sets up like an elaborate Ferris Bueller-esque thing to get out of it. Linda, like he's got recordings. Linda, yeah.
He's got the synthesizers. Like,
yeah, I'm sick, Linda.
He's been sick nine.
Little baby
times.
clone Henry. I don't know whatever that kid's name.
He's got a race back. Yeah. On his private jet.
Yeah, that's really weird. Listen, nothing that Henry and Werner do that's evil really surprises me at this point.
Now this is pretty surprising. I think I gotta push back a little bit there because like
Henry was there today. I saw he showed face at Fenway.
Oh, yeah, he popped a couple ibuprofen. He had some Gatorade. Some good shut eye. He's strong as an ox. Yeah,
I know. Like, commit asshole to the bit if you're gonna miss the funeral. Like, don't. I mean, it's good that he showed his face because he never does that. But at least knock yourself out for a couple days. No.
Yeah. His one annual trip to the Fens has been checked off. That quota has been met. But no, call me naive, whatever, but that does feel a little shocking, right?
Yeah, no,
you mentioned, the slightest, like, nut hair's worth of compassion, of, like, sympathy, empathy, right?
Yeah.
You would think.
You would think.
And, you know, even, like, you never know what's going on. Even if Henry was, like, so incredibly sick, right? Take that out of there. The one that's more shocking, I think, is the Werner thing. Like, for a regular, Joe Schmo, like you or I, if we were on a different continent, like, yeah, it's tough to drop everything and go across the ocean on a dime. That dude has more than, like, all of King Midas's silver. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Right? you could just hop on a PJ.
I'm imagining him, like, finding out in the funerals, he's just, like, itching his neck, like, ah.
I got that 330 that I can't keep pushing that back, right?
Kind of tight, yeah.
Right? It's short notice, right?
Yeah.
Like, dude, you're Tom Werner. You can reschedule things if you need to. Yeah. You can hop on the PJ and go back over and take care of business there, right?
Yeah.
You know, that. Just my two cents on that front.
No, I agree with you, my friend. I agree with you, my friend.
Yeah, I'm not fucking with that either.
Amen.
Amen to that. Want to take a quick break?
Yeah, come back with a little tribute.
Yes, Susan.
All right.
You have to do a little tribute. We'll be right back talking about John Sterling. Have to give him his flowers.
Going out.
Retiring.
Going out.
After this. We're back. Pot on Lansdowne. Jake and Fitz. No Liam. He'll be back. I know this is obviously a Red Sox podcast. It's a lot of things. Like, it's a lot of podcasts. Like, we go into a lot of different things. But sure, primarily, it's a Red Sox podcast. But I did want to take a moment to salute John Sterling, radio voice of the New York Yankees, for almost four decades. It was announced on Monday afternoon that he would be retiring effective immediately. Over the weekend, he'll be getting a ceremony to honor his work with, you know, the big hated rivals. But over the years, like Sterling went from just like a hated voice as a kid. I was like, oh, like, you know, this guy, like, oh, he really likes the Yankee. Blah, 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 blah. As I grew wiser. I'm not saying that I am wise, and I'm just saying wiser than I was, right? No, but as I got older, I did grow to appreciate him. I love the goofiness of it, the cheesiness of his home run calls and whatnot. The Yankees. Obviously, I don't want to hear the Yankees win, but I don't know. Like, he felt like he had a big game voice, like a perfect voice for the Yankees. I thought he was the man. I thought he was great. Living legend. Salute to him. I wanted to give him his flowers.
Yeah, absolutely. We're running out of those types. These, like, eccentric, funny radio types. It's all, you know, the Harry Careys of the world. It's all, like, the stiff-ass Dave O'Briens now, you know? Everybody, Oh, I went
and as a Dave O'Brien apologist from time to time, I do agree with that.
I went to broadcast journalism, whatever school, and I can't laugh. I don't know. Have some fun, man.
Exactly. Especially if you're the hometown announcer for a team. Like, if you're the national guy, like Orsillo does some national games, he has to kind of call it down the middle there a bit. But if you're the home run, it's that, to reference another tweet, it's the, if I was a sport broadcaster, I would say about the opposing team, these are not good people. These are bad guys. These are evil men. Like, right.
Yes.
But no, and Sterling kind of had that. I mean, how much time do we have to enjoy Castig? Castig doesn't make any of the, many of the road trips anymore on our end. And, you know, I try to listen on EEI as much as I can, especially when it's a home game, because Joe Castiglione, I mean, you grow up listening to him, the amount of big calls that he's had over the years, you know, that's a gem of a guy as well. Ford Frick winner. He's going to be honored in Cooperstown this year, Castig. He deserves that.
Yes.
And John Sterling on the other end deserves that respect as well. Big game voice. I always loved, you know, the one time a year when Castig would go over to the Yankees booth and call an inning, and Sterling would come over to the Sox booth and call an inning. That was great. That was always a delight whenever that came around. So I wanted to, you know, give some flowers to John Sterling. And with that, Jake, I told you to come up with your top three John Sterling home run calls.
And I got them.
I'd love to hear them. Let's hear it.
All right, you want to go like back and forth?
Yeah, we can go back and forth. We can do it like a draft. You want to do a draft?
Yeah, I'm worried we have crossover, which I don't.
I think I would have enough here.
Okay. All right. So I'll do
You get the first overall pick.
I'd rather we lead to our favorite. Like, we end up at the best one at the end.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I haven't ranked it in terms of favorites. I just have a list of a couple.
Okay.
I
have a favorite. All right. In third place, I have the Grandy Man Can.
The Grandy Man Can.
Just a
classic. And on top of that, I believe he would go, oh, Curtis, you're something sort of grandish.
I think this is the one that, like, because when was Granderson on the Yankees? Like 10, 11, 12 in there?
Yeah, around that time. It was after they won in 09.
When I became aware of John Sterling, like as a 10-year-old, I was like, oh, like, because why would I know the Yankees radio guy, you know?
Yeah.
As a kid. But I think, and that stuck with me. Like, I was like, oh, this is a silly little guy. The Grandy Man.
Grandy Man. Yeah.
So that is my number three, Fitz.
If you want to go 2-1, you can, because I found my 3-2-1.
No, go 3.
Okay, my third. Another one from that same sort of time period.
Okay.
And Mark sends a text message to the
good.
You're on the mark, Teixeira.
Yes. Fuck, that is good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So, you're on the mark to share a text message.
Number two for me. You know I love this one. Aaron's the judge, but Brandon's the jury.
I'm not joking. That was my number two as well. You fucking fucked
was
me
it?
There. Yeah, you did. It's fine. It's fine.
That's great. Such a good one. Really great, too, because I love, you know, and this is kind of the whole game, but he does it for everybody, even Brandon Drury, who I think spent like what 6 months on the Yankees or something.
Yeah, it's amazing.
He's got it for everyone.
Some of those had to have been tough to
absolutely
to come up with, right?
Yeah.
Like, what am I gonna say? What am I gonna do for? I'm just like running through like the most random Yankee.
Well, relax, because I have one coming up. My number one.
The number one.
Yeah.
I gotta say, for number two here, a good thing I had a backup. Just the milkman delivers, Melky Cabrera.
The milkman.
It's a late night Melky delivery. The milkman.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Melky Cabrera. Thank you to the Fang.
Thank you to the Fang.
Remember that? That had baseball Facebook by
yeah, he
the
just
balls.
Kept repeating it.
Thank
right?
you to the Fang.
Thank you to the Fang. That was the All-Star. I believe that was the 2011 All-Star game.
2012. Yeah.
All right.
DC.
Hey, you got me. You got me.
Yes.
All right. Ready for my number one? My number one all time.
Yep.
Never nervous, Yang Gervis.
Yang.
My number one. So good. Absolutely perfect.
That's pretty damn good.
My man Yang Gervis Solarte. Special. He had a Linsanity run, Mr. Solarte.
Solarte.
He really did. He was really fucking good for like 2 months.
Some honorable mentions.
Oh, okay.
Thrilla from Godzilla for Hideki Matsui. The Giambino is a great one. A-Bomb from A-Rod is... That's pretty damn good. Whatever he did for Giancarlo Stanton. I still don't even know like what that translates to.
What is it?
Giancarlo, no si un comparlo, or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, what about a Stantonian?
So, my number one, I'll let the man do it himself. Speaking of Giancarlo Stanton.
The pitch to Stanton. Drew, there goes. Deep left, it is high. It is far. It is gone out of the ballpark. A Stantonian home run. Now, what did I do wrong? What did I see wrong? He's at first base.
Every single time makes me smile.
What did I do wrong is such a great cat. You know what it reminds me of? Similar energy is Pacino at the Oscars this year.
My eyes are seeing a Stantonian blast.
But then, like, when he, even after, is to say, like, when the Oppenheimer cast and crew start coming up, you can hear Pacino on the mic just go, what happened?
He's just like me for real, going, what did I do wrong?
Yeah, it's such a perfect, so perfect. And we got some good years out of that, some good mileage out of that call.
We could still, from time to time, if need be.
Yeah, you know, hey.
A personal favorite tweet of mine was Easter a couple years ago. It said the Roman guard seeing the tomb empty on Easter Sunday. What did I do wrong? What did I say wrong?
So Sterling, is he just fucking done? He's not even doing like a goodbye game?
Effective immediately.
Yeah, God, that's crazy.
Yeah. Dude, I'm telling you, like, you just think about even like the last couple of days, not even like a week, not even, you know, this past month, like the last 48 hours. Matthew Gross of OTM as well, another OTM plug, pointed out Mike Gorman, Vern Lundquist, and John Sterling all retired within 36 hours of each other. That's like, those are three like huge voices of sports. Yeah. Mike Gorman, of course. You know, we're not doing Pond on Causeway this week, but Mike Gorman is.
We might, depending on how May and June end up.
Yeah, we
Red
might
Sox.
Go back, but in case we don't, give Mike Gorman some love here. I mean, Hoffman takes it, makes it. He's the best. He
was got it.
Yeah, got it. Yeah. So, of course, salute to Mike Gorman. And Vern Lundquist as well, not only as a golf announcer, but college football, college basketball.
Yeah.
By George, the dream's alive.
Yeah, jeez. Fucking A, huh?
Yep, and now Nance isn't doing the Final Four anymore, right?
Yeah.
Joe Buck is only doing Monday Night Football.
End of an era.
I hate
that shit so much. That Buck is wasted on once a week Monday Night Football.
Yeah, Colin Jaguars.
He calls 16 fucking games a year or 17, whatever. Oh, he gets like playoff games right now, but
he'll get the Super Bowl.
Oh, is that?
Well, yeah, the Super Bowl will be on ABC in a couple years, so we do get some.
Yeah,
we'll get some hearty pass is caught.
Joe Buck. I love him so much.
I think it's so bad
he's rotting on ESPN now.
I think time has done Joe Buck very well. Even like back in the day, like as a kid, I was like, oh, I appreciate Joe Buck. Joe Buck is like the voice of sports for
your
and I generate. The amount of big games 100%. That Joe Buck has got. We're welcoming you inside
Super Bowls,
the broadcast booth.
Every World Series, he was getting every third Super Bowl or whatever. Like, you kidding?
It was excellent. And he got a lot of shit for a lot of years, but he's awesome. You know how everyone says like, oh, like nothing hits worse than a Mike Breen bang against your team.
Yeah.
Nothing hits worse than when your team gives up a blast where Buck goes, "That is hit deep."
Yeah.
It's like, oh, fuck.
Or what's the football one? It's like, and caught or whatever.
Yeah, right.
Like,
pass is caught. Yeah.
That's devastating too.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to Buck.
Yeah. We love our broadcasters.
We have to protect Kevin Harlan at all costs.
I think he's the best there is right now.
He's really good. Yeah. Iron Eagle is great. Jason
I like Benetti Green a lot, but I think Harlan's the best they've got working right now.
Who'd you say you like?
I like Breen, of course.
Breen, yeah. No,
but I fucking love Harlan's voice.
Yeah. The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
You see the chicken wing the other night?
Yes. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. Oh, really good broadcaster. Again, Benetti is really good. I think he's with the Tigers now. I think he left the White Sox. He does some national games.
Yeah, he did, right? It was a whole thing.
Yeah.
Because then they thought it was going to be Monaco.
Boog Shambi's all right. Monaco's great. Shout out Monaco.
I love Mike.
Get him on the pod, man. Obviously, Don.
We could, probably. We really should do that.
Get some more of the broadcasters on the pod.
I mean, at least Monaco. I know he would do it. He's an internet guy.
he's a poster.
Yeah, he is a poster. He posts. Like Dave O'Brien. You think Dave O'Brien even knows what a podcast is? I feel like he's so stuck in like 1989. I feel like he never left.
What do you think the most recent meme that OB has like come around to?
Ooh, maybe like the baby like on the beach with his fist.
Epic. Advice dog.
Yeah, all of those. I think you probably saw those 15 years ago.
Lou, I was perusing the interwebs and
came
across an unfortunate fellow by the name of Bad Luck Brian.
That's what I was thinking of, Bad Luck Brian. Or like that, what's the guy, like he was like the douchebag in the doorway? He had like a backwards hat on that one.
Like, it's like Shithead Kevin or something like that. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, he has like the tan hat backwards, like the puppy coat.
Yes, that guy. I don't remember what they called him.
Like Shithead Steve or something like that.
Yeah, or the bear, the sad bear. You remember that one?
Yep.
I'm looking at him right now. All the old advice animals.
Yeah. I'm googling Shithead meme. What was his name? Someone's gonna be like screaming.
No, I think it was like Scumbag meme.
Scumbag Steve.
Scumbag Steve. That is yes.
Yeah, we got it. We got it together. Yeah, Scumbag Steve.
Yeah, there you go.
I heard a wonderful tune on the radio the other day named Gangnam Style. And there's apparently a dance to it. Dave O'Brien's doing the Harlem Shake.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's too. He's not locked in.
No, he's not on the pod. Not a poster.
No, not a poster. Does he even have a Twitter account or anything?
I don't know. Pride of Quincy, Massachusetts, by the way. I don't want to dunk on OB too much. He's a Quincy boy.
You know who is a poster, and we miss him so much? Don.
Don is a big-time poster.
Don posts with the best of them.
Don's hilarious because he'll like Ness and Slander. If you tag him in a Ness and Slander post, he's like, hell
fuck
yeah.
Him. Fuck him.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Fuck him.
You see, I don't know if it was real. I feel like it probably wasn't, but maybe it was. Somebody tweeted like this, if you miss Kim Ng, and Jazz Chisholm liked it.
I did not see that.
Yeah. I don't know if it was. I could be spreading falsehoods right now, but.
You could be slanderous.
Yeah.
Well, listen, man, I got to tell you.
Oh, yeah.
I think you and I right now, even though it's just us two, the hat game that we both have going on right now is great. Because I'm currently...
This is a fresh piece.
I was going to get to that. Keep the party going with a parrot there, and we will get to that. But I just had to point out, I am wearing my 2021 UMass National Champions hat to remind everyone UMass is still the last Hockey East team to win the national championship.
That's
because
right.
Because BU couldn't do it, and buddy, BC most certainly couldn't either this past weekend. It was great.
Hey, man.
That's awesome. It's great.
Yeah.
I don't even what's the Schadenfreude is that the German word?
Yeah, Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude, whatever. Basking in people's misery. I don't even have that so much for BU, but BC though, big time for Newton College. No.
Yeah, Newton College.
Who's the kid there? Like Gauthier is his name or something
Yeah, he just signed with the Ducks today.
And he said like, oh, there's going to be a lot of tears on that Denver side. Like,
yeah.
And then they scored 0.0 goals. That's
content. He also said he was going to score. And he didn't.
He most certainly didn't. Yeah, UMass so at least was able to score against Denver after they... And then afterwards, yeah, they lost in double overtime, but we don't have to talk about that.
Yeah, that's a nice hat fits. Who makes that hat fits?
This was, if you give me a moment... Bad Radio. This is Top of the World.
Oh, I've never heard of that, but it's a nice
Top
lid.
Of the World. I don't have my headphones on, so I can't hear you. Top of the World.
I said, I've never heard of that, but it's a nice lid.
Yeah, it's my only Top of the World hat, but yeah, it's a good one. But anyways, the real reason I wanted to bring up the hats there is because you got a parrot on the hat there, which means you must have gotten it at the Jimmy Buffett tribute concert.
That's right, I did.
Jealous I am when I heard about that you went there. Was it Thursday night?
Yeah, with my dad.
So jealous.
Yeah, we hell of a show. I mean, let me tell you.
I mean, Macca being there alone brings it to the roof. But then you have Pitbull and Will Arnett there as well, right?
And Snoop Dogg.
And Snoop, right? Did you retweet the video? It's like it was panning of everyone singing Margaritaville, and it's like you can't guess who the next person is.
Yeah.
And it's true. It's like, why is Joe Bluth here with Snoop Dogg, right?
My dad was completely enamored by Pitbull. He was like... He had never heard of him until he stepped out on stage. And he was like, I love this guy's energy.
Dalek.
Like Dalek.
My father-in-law, like unironically, loves himself some Pitbull. Mr. Missy Mopena is a huge, huge fan of Mr. Worldwide.
Really? Yeah, I mean, I think my dad is too now.
Fireball gets my father-in-law going. It's crazy.
He was really into it.
It's a switch is activated. And I get it with Mr. 305. You know,
the craziest sequence at the Jimmy Buffett concert was John McEnroe came out to introduce...
Like the tennis player?
Like the tennis player. To introduce Pitbull, who then came out, sang... one song, and then brought
I don't know where I'm gonna go with the Volcano Blues. Oh, like, did he do that? Then, like,
no, he did. What's his big hit? I'm blanking so hard right now.
Hey. Jimmy Buffett or Pitbull?
Pitbull.
He has a couple of big hits.
Nah, but like the big,
listen, Mr. Worldwide is not a one-hit wonder.
No,
are you talking Fireball? You're like, give me everything tonight. Like, grab somebody sexy denim. Hey, Timber, it's going down. I'm yelling Timber. Meet me at the hotel room. That?
I don't know. I'm blanking.
Dude, I'm naming the Pitbull bangers
don't
now.
Don't Stop
You're
the Party,
gonna...
maybe? I think that might have been.
He sang that.
And then he then brought out, then Pitbull brought out Bon Jovi to. I'm telling you, dude. It was crazy.
With or without Bill Belichick?
Alone. And then he sing with Bon Jovi to sing another Pitbull song, Thank God and Jimmy Buffett, which is a Pitbull song.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. I'm looking
what did Macca sing?
Of this. Let It Be.
Wonderful song.
Yeah.
Paul McCartney does this thing. He has been asked the question of how he came up with Let It Be no less than 6,500 times. Everyone asks
He looks
him
fucking
how,
good, dude. He's got
for
he's 82, a lively cat.
I think he is 82.
Yeah,
I believe. Yeah, he's still going. He was just he was at Fenway, not this past summer, but the summer before. He was still putting on like a 2.5 hour show for a guy who had just turned 80 or was about to turn 80.
No, he looks good, man.
He's the man. He's the best. Fucking love Macca. But he's been asked how he came up with Let It Be a million times, and every single time he says. Oh, you know, it came in a dream, you know, and that's become a joke within Beatles fan. Like Beatles Circle Jerk loves throwing out the "Oh, I saw it in a dream," you know, mother. Beatles Circle Jerk is a great subreddit, even if
I love very those, funny stuff. Those subs.
Beach Boys Circle Jerk is pretty funny as well.
Hard to talk about in public, unfortunately.
Yeah, because you can't say you've been on Beatles Circle Jerk, but we're an hour and 10 minutes into the podcast, and the true perverts are still around, so I feel comfortable. Yeah, you know what I mean.
No, concert was special. That was special. I didn't.
Jake just left. Jake's internet must have gone out. So it's just me now at this point. This is awkward. I'm going to give Jake... He's back. Device not connected.
What the fuck?
He's coming in. At the stage.
I've never dropped really out awkward. Like that.
Oh, you're back now. Okay, there you go.
Hey. I was going to say, there was no surprise musicians. But everybody that like introduced the musicians was a surprise, and it was quite an eclectic group. It was Woody Harrelson, Harrison Ford, Jane Fonda, John McEnroe, Don Johnson, Judd Apatow.
Did anyone get slapped and Judd Apatow said it could have killed him?
No, but I kept thinking when he was on stage, I was like, he could have killed him. I was like, maybe I'll go and slap him. Gun it down to the stage. Yeah. It was really cool. Oh my god, I went to Dodger Stadium on Friday.
Yeah, the second biggest event that you went to in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Over the past few days.
Good park.
Is that your first time there?
Yeah.
Pros and cons? What do we got for
I got no cons really for the actual ballpark. I thought it was a lovely stadium, very pretty, very classic. However, the second you exit the stadium, it's the worst shit I've ever seen in my life. It's just a sea of parking. There's no transit. It's fucking ugly. It's really bad. There's nothing near it. It's on like hills.
Yeah, in the ravine.
Yeah, it sucks. You know why it's called Chavez Ravine, Fitz?
Why?
Because they used eminent domain and bulldozed an entire Mexican community.
I did know that. I didn't know that was why it also called, like, that's why they called it Chavez Ravine, but I was aware of that.
Well, that's like, I don't know. Oh, I don't know, like, literally why it's Chavez Ravine, but the community was Chavez Ravine.
Yeah, they kicked him out to build.
They kicked him out and they kept the name. Isn't that beautiful, huh?
No. The American experience right there. That's what that sounds like to me.
Hey, we're going
to
build a parking lot right here.
Yeah, right? Baseball stadium, and then the parking lot's three times as big as the field.
Fitz, I don't even know. It's probably more than that. Like, it's staggering in person how
I've seen, like, overhead
much parking there is compared. Yeah, it's we're lucky in the Northeast with Fenway and Yankee Stadium for that matter.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Take a train. You can just pop on a train.
Well, that's if the train works. That's the one thing. As I try to take the T whenever I can, but there are times where the T it is. I don't want to sound like a total like just tweeting at the T whenever anything goes wrong. But there are some times where I'm like, can we fucking grow up here? Like, are you kidding me?
I get it.
And again, anytime those situations, anytime I'm sitting on the T and it fucks up, I just think back to myself. I sit back and I go, this city really wanted to host the Olympics in 2020.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Right? Like, to bring it back to college hockey, the city could barely host like the Frozen Four, and they want to host the Summer Olympics. Anyways. That's all I got.
Let me just. Sox prospects just tweeted Roman Anthony's stat line this last week.
Mm-hmm.
300, 364, 750 for a 1.114 OPS. Three doubles, two bombs, four RBIs, and two stolen bases.
That's good stuff.
He's Heim's legacy.
the
like more testament. More than I think Meyer and Teal are to the point like they were pretty layup-y picks where they were, but Anthony is like, if they hit on this fucking kid and he's as good, I mean, fuck, you know.
Roman
is the key to all this. And Fitz, my song of the week.
Oh, apologies for missing song of the week last week. We didn't do it.
Oh, did we?
I don't think we did.
Oh, how embarrassing. Oh.
Do we do two songs of the week instead?
No.
Here.
No.
Oh, okay. Didn't want to make up for it.
I'm going to say my song of the week.
You did not have it ready to go.
No, I didn't. This is...
And the emoji for the week will be an X, a red X, because you did not have it ready to go. You were not ready.
My Love, Mine All Mine by Mitski. That's my song of the week.
Mitski. Now, yeah, Mitski's an artist. Like, I haven't really gotten into Mitski, but I know, like, based on... Like, the music opinions of people that I trust and have a similar taste as me seem to like Mitski. I just have never gone into him.
Hey, that's okay.
Yeah, it is what it is. There's only so many hours in a day, right?
Mitski's a girl, by the way.
I said them.
Oh, I thought you said him.
No, I meant to say him.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry to Mitski. My apologies to Mitski.
Apologies to
Mitski. I'm sure she's lovely, but I got to get into it a little bit more. With me going to the Mouse over the weekend, going to Disney World, by the way, for people who didn't know, I'll Make a Man Out of You for Mulan. That's my song of the week.
Oh, yeah.
That's the best Disney song. And
that boy, that boy Donny Osmond
fucking cooked there. Now, I will say, I think the best individual soundtrack, like original soundtrack for a Disney movie, is Tarzan. Okay, I think Phil Collins cooked up 5 tracks for that, and then he went 5 for 5. You'll Be My Heart. Nailed sure it. Did. Two Worlds, One Family. Son of Man, are you fucking kidding me, dude? Strangers Like Me?
I think The Lion King is probably my full...
I mean, yeah, Lion King is an excellent soundtrack. Lion King is fantastic. No notes. No shade to their game. No shade to the game of...
No shade to Elton.
No, yeah, exactly. Elton was great. Alan Menken and...
Howard Ashman.
Howard Ashman, thank you very much. Yes, may he rest in peace. Yes. They cooked with... I think they did Little Mermaid together.
Mermaid, Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast.
And you talk about sensational.
A run. You talk about a run. That's that's like the 90s Bulls. Yeah.
I mean, it's Hercules, another great soundtrack. Fantastic. That's the Make Men as well.
I don't know who did that. Michael Bolton's on the credits.
I can go the distance. Yep.
Yeah.
The first fucking song from Hunchback, that's a Howard... No, that's a Menken masterclass.
Yeah.
Menken low-key cooked with Tangled in 2010. You want to talk
really?
About another?
Oh, really? I'm not a huge Tangled.
Wrong. When Will My Life Begin? Mandy Moore? You kidding me?
Mandy Moore. I love her.
Special.
I've always loved Mandy.
But in spite of all that, Phil Collins going right in, right out. 5 songs. Here you go. Tarzan. Not the best movie, but that soundtrack, fucking special. Absolutely special. But the best singular song, let's bring it all back, Donny Osmond.
Yeah.
I'll Make a Man Out of You.
You know, they made a movie in 2017, it's not Disney, so it didn't have any songs or anything, or like talking animals in that way, but a live-action Tarzan, like the Legend of Tarzan.
With The Rock and Margot Robbie,
No, it was Skarsgård. It was Alexander Skarsgård and Margot Robbie, and just... came and went. Nobody fucking... It was like... They should give that another shot.
I mean,
just re-release it. I've always wondered, like...
Attractive people. Margot Robbie and Alexander Skarsgård.
How certain movies would do if studios just, like, acted like they were new. I think I could be onto something with that.
movies that didn't quite get into the zeitgeist at all. Cultural zeitgeist.
Yeah.
This, you're going to be able to trick some people, like you, like a big movie head, like, hey,
of course,
this happened
of course.
Like 8 years ago, but...
But I'm not the guy that matters for that kind of thing. Like, you want to rope in, like, the masses, you know?
Yeah, right? On a Memorial Day weekend when people are...
Yeah, so, like, just
fucking...
Some of those COVID movies, those are all not real, you know?
They could try Doolittle again with Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, off that Oscar.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You could technically, like, in small print, market it as a re-release, so you're not lying, but you just don't emphasize that, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
You just
like
whisper
that.
Really quiet, it's a re-release, by the way. And then you just keep going. But yeah, I'll Make Man Out of You to get me into the Disney mood. Gotta pay our capitalist mouse a visit.
Love it.
Very
love
excited.
Love it. Fitz, and I love you.
I love you too, Jake. We love Liam as well, even though he's in the contraption.
Yeah.
But, what are you guys going to do next week? You're not going to be able to record Tuesday, so maybe it'll be a Liam and I date, or a Liam date if you record on Monday? Because I'm traveling that Monday. I'm coming home that Monday. I'm not going to be able to do anything.
Fitz,
what
we'll
can
sort
the
it
people
out.
Expect?
We'll sort it out. It'll be a surprise.
Yeah. You'll just have to tune in and see.
Yeah.
Until
who
then,
will,
though.
Who will be here?
You'll never know. Until
know
then, though.
They'll know when they...
This has been Pod on Lansdowne. For Liam, in parts unknown. For Jake, I'm Fitz, you're you. We appreciate you taking the time to listen. Thank you very much for following along. Some of us will talk to you next week. But until then, go Sox and obey your mother. Big one, Jake.
I know, I'm the closer here today.
Obey your mother. I thought you did very well there.
enjoyed the great season. Have fun. And knowing that better times are ahead for the Baltimore Orioles.
Oh, damn your mother!